Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It's 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Right now I have a band called New Age Healers. Demolition Stories is the name of their most recent material. Came out 2022. Right now, welcome to the show, guys. Tell me what your name is and what you do in New Age Healers.
My name's Owen Murphy. I am the lead singer, principal songwriter, guitar player, and best-looking member of New Age Healers.
Hey, man. Yeah. You got to know. You got the confidence, yeah, right?
Right.
It doesn't get old, believe me. My name is Jeremy Kepping. I'm the guitar player. I do some mixing and recording of the band, too. I'm easily the worst looking member.
Oh, wow.
Of the band, so.
Self-deprecating.
Okay. He's actually the best looking member of the band.
Wow.
Yeah. And you
it's the beauty of radios. You'll never know.
Exactly. If this was a video podcast or something like that, or a video show, we would be able to tell. But I think you're both equally handsome.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
You're right.
Who are we missing? Who are missing from the show or not missing? Who's not here right now, rather?
Well, our keyboard player Farhad isn't here. Our bass player Alan isn't here. Our other singer Liz is not here. And our drummer Adam is not here.
Okay.
And they're missed deeply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get a little backstory about the band. You know, how did you two meet, or how did the rest of the band meet? How long have you guys been going? And you know, what's the origin story of New Age Healers?
Origin story. I want to make some Star Wars joke or something like that. So this started as a solo project. I had been working in Los Angeles. I'd leave on a Monday morning at 4 a.m. from my home in Shoreline and fly down to Los Angeles, work there all week and fly back. And then one day I realized, I don't want to do that anymore. So I quit. And I was back home here in Shoreline rehabbing our house and spending my days listening to a local radio station that I now work at called KXP. Mm-hmm. And I was just blown away by what I was hearing. I was like, you know, and I hadn't played in bands in 15 years. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to pick it up again. Because I was just hearing things that were really inspiring to me. And I also got a great piece of advice from a friend of mine, Ben. He is the lead singer of a pop punk band that's semi-famous called Screeching Weasel. And he's a really good songwriter.
Ben Weasel.
Ben Weasel.
He's a friend of yours.
He's one of my best friends, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't know you knew. Okay, cool.
Of course I know Screeching Weasel.
Okay. he showed me that the system of writing songs like the Ramones use, or lots of rock and roll stuff. Yeah. It's very, very simple. You start like an E chord, then you go to an A, then you go back to E, then you go to B, then you go to A, and then back to E. And most pop songs kind of do this sort of thing, right?
Sure.
And there's a reason why they do that sort of thing. From his point of view, is that's because it works, right? Mm-hmm. For him, where it gets interesting is the sonic choices you make. So like what kind of guitar sounds you're going to add, which is what, you know, Jeremy adds to our band quite a bit, is adding interesting choices. So my songs, if you were to strip them away, they're fairly basic, actually.
Yeah.
There's lots of arrangement things happening and things coming and going, but they kind of follow these rules. And that little piece of advice he gave me just opened up floodgates. Right now we're sitting on a stack of songs we can't even get to.
Wow.
We think are pretty good.
They're great.
And then
you've unearthed the you figured it out. it's like
kink
solution.
In the hose, and the hose got unkinked.
And then explosion of all this music comes out. That's amazing.
And then during the pandemic, our guitar player had to leave the band because he and his wife had two kids under the age of three.
Wow.
His name's Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they had big time jobs in here in Seattle. She's a VP at Tableau, and he was working for Amazon Web Services. Yeah. And they just could not do their jobs and have two kids under the age of three and have a nanny in their house. So they moved back to his hometown of Rochester, New York. So he couldn't be in the band anymore.
Yeah.
And so I put the siren song call out, please, for the love of God, someone join up. And Jeremy can tell you more about himself, but we're I'm blessed to have him. He's an incredible guitar player and mixing engineer and producer. And I think there's some pretty decent singing in there, too, but we haven't heard that part of it yet.
So he kind of – we talked on Facebook to set this up. He told me that you played in Grand Hallway and Nakayama.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, you know, some of your musical background and whatnot.
Sure. I mean, before that, I was in a shoegaze band called Voyager One. We were
awesome
band. We were around for, I don't know, about 10 years at the turn of the century there.
Cool.
Turn of the millennium, really, also. And that was great. There was a phrase I used to bat around in that band called a blowing pant leg, and that sounds a little bit risque, but it's not. Because your amplifiers are down, you know, they're on the ground, right? And there's a speaker cone moving a lot of air, which people may not realize. And it's right there, right next to your leg, usually, because we always practice in these really small kind of mold-infested rooms, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you hit your guitar really hard and you're turned up really loud, it moves enough air, it actually will move your pant leg.
That's amazing.
And for years, that was Voyager 1, right? And then for years, you know, in Grand Hallway... It's not that kind of band.
Sure.
There's no pant legs being moved. Right.
There's some hearts being moved.
There's some hearts being moved.
Moving pant. That's amazing.
Just not appropriate for that band. And then I was in an ambient band, actually also with Tomo Nakayama.
Really?
Called Sovan. And it's all very like Brian Eno, Daniel Lanois, very meditative. It's kind of how I learned to meditate was doing this like ambient kind of stuff. But I still really like to get loud. I still really like to be obnoxiously loud at times. Which you can attest to probably. So I was thinking to myself, like, you know, the pandemic's kind of starting to ease up a little bit.
And sure.
I had a lot of this energy that felt like I needed to get out by being loud and blowing some pant leg. Right when I was thinking of that, my friend Tony, who's in Black Knight Crash, another
great band. I've had them up on.
And he was in Voyager 1, actually.
Awesome.
So we've played music together, and he's a solid dude. And
yeah.
Anyway, he reposted Owen's, because I had never met anybody in New Age Healers.
Yeah.
He reposted Owen's bat signal for a guitar player, and it was perfect. The timing was great.
Let's do it.
I started getting the songs in, and they were just like right up my alley.
Yeah.
And I started immediately having ideas about ways I could add to them or, you know.
That's cool.
Put my own stamp on them.
How can I fix these disasters Owen is sharing with me?
That was my immediate thought.
No. So I was when I was listening to your album, I was immediately like, is this what people would consider shoegaze? Because like I know I'm not like super familiar with My Bloody Valentine and Ride and some of the like more famous bands. I guess there's like a whole history of like, you know, looking down at the pedals and gazing at your shoes and stuff. But would you guys call yourselves a shoegaze if people were to classify you in your micro genre?
Sort of. Yeah, I think so. But you had a great take on this. So we played a show last Wednesday at the
Chop Suey.
At Chop Suey with a couple, a band from Chicago called Ariel. They're amazing. And a band from Los Angeles called Deserta, also amazing. You should check them out. They're wonderful. And you kind of, we were talking about our sound as compared to them, and you described it in a certain way, which I thought was really interesting.
It was actually described to me in a certain way by a friend of mine, Lance, who is in a bunch of local bands as well. Hypatia Lake is Lance's main band. And he's like, you know, I've been listening to the record a lot, and I really like the way it's kind of American, right? And I think a lot of the shoegaze stuff gets kind of
Euro or British.
British specifically, right? And it gets really sort of Anglophile and like really people start singing with accents and stuff. It's kind of hard to escape, you know?
Sure.
I believe it's genuine. I don't believe it's disingenuous. I think they actually just love the genre so much that the accent becomes part of the sound.
It's like when you're singing along to Morris and you accidentally do British accent and you're like, oh my God.
Or not so accidentally. Like it just becomes part of that lilt becomes as much a melody line as anything else in the song, right?
Totally.
So, but Owen's songs, there's a center that is not as Eastern Atlantic, right?
Sure.
There's a center that I wouldn't call it mid Atlantic because then it'd be in the middle of the water, but I would say that it's like, it is grounded in both American and English sounds. Anyway, so back to Lance, and he's saying, you know, I really love the record because it feels like Sugar meets Ride, which, you know, is very much like, in my mind, an American reference and a British shoegaze reference, which was great because in mixing the record and producing the record, we definitely didn't want to scrub that from the way the songs were written. We wanted to be true to that core, which is how the song started.
Yeah. I write these songs. I like rock and roll.
Embrace the big American dumb rock.
Yeah, I like dumb rock, man.
Yeah, man.
You know, we have songs that have elements of shoegaze. I mean, there's certainly some Swerve Driver and Ride and My Bloody Valentine influences in there. But also there's Zeppelin influence. Black Sabbath, for goodness sakes. We have a new song that's totally Black Sabbath sounding. But,
that's
you know,
awesome.
But they're more straightforward in their sounds. You know, they're kind of Marshall amps and little distortion, and that's about it. We're adding, you know, that's one of the fun things about shoegaze. You got all those pedals there, and it's an adventure to use them and add. You know, you could add one reverb pedal, but why not have two?
Yeah.
You know? Along with distortion and some echo, you know. So you get this big, gigantic Phil Spector wall of sound that is just, to me, really interesting. And all these sound waves kind of bounce off each other and create – it's weird. Like, they create their own sound and their own emotions, sort of. It's just the darndest thing. It's a really enthralling type of music to make. And it's not the only type of music I like, but it's one I really enjoy making because of that, because of the sonics that are created with all these sounds coming together in this kind of melodic cacophony, as it were.
That's cool. Like you create this humongous sound and you kind of just play with, you know, the madness that it creates.
That's what we do.
There you go. Play with the madness. I play with madness? Iron Maiden. Guys, okay, so let's go into a song. We're going to go into a song called Scars. And thanks for coming in. We're going to go into a song here, Scars. Again, New Age Healers. We'll be back with them. It's Loud and Local on The Rock.
We'll be right back.
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
New Age Healers here on Loud and Local. Owen, what year did you guys start again?
Well, this project started in late 2015, early 2016. I mean, that's like 7 years ago. I can't believe it. That's when it started. But again, like I told you earlier, it was a solo project. I just did everything by myself. And you know, you can go back and listen to the old recordings, and like they're good for what they are. And there's certain people, fans of ours, who really love them. But it's expanded into like a full band thing now, and the Sonics are it's a much bigger, cooler thing to me. Yeah.
Did you always grow up playing music? Were you in bands prior to this, or was this your first band?
Yeah, I mean, from Minneapolis, and the first bands I was in was there was a band called Mickey Finn out of Minneapolis. Okay. We toured the country a number of times. We were on a label called Big Money Records, and I remember playing Seattle, you know, probably 30 years ago, but we played at what is now El Corazon, but then it was called the Off Ramp.
Yep. That's where Pearl Jam played their first show.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Still got that same pole.
Right in the middle of the stage.
Yep.
I guess I don't remember that, but I must have seen it. Some shows I've been to. And then from there I followed my girlfriend, now my wife, to New York City.
Awesome.
And played in bands there. And that's kind of when I quit in my early 30s, because I was like, I'm tired of dragging gear all over New York City and playing to fives of people on a Wednesday. I'm like, I'm done.
Well, what brought you to Seattle?
I moved here. So I've worked in radio for the last 25 years or so. And I moved here to launch as the assistant program director, but in charge of programming, to launch 710 ESPN Seattle, which is now called Seattle Sports.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a bunch of people over there I hired who are just wonderful folks.
That's awesome.
And it's been, oh my gosh, was it 14 years now? My gosh.
All right, we got Brock Heward on the line, now. I'm just kidding.
I'll give you his phone number. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I got some funny Brock stories.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a wonderful guy.
That's cool. Well, okay. So, I actually had Eva from the Blacktones in the studio, and she was like, you know, before she mentioned that she worked at KXP, she kind of was like, am I allowed to say that? And I was like, hold up. We ain't radio station gangbanging here. Like, you do a cool thing, I do a cool thing. Let's just support each other, right? Like, it's all part of the same musical ecosystem. Yeah. I want to raise people up and that are doing amazing things, right? So it's like, you know, and then so you're in sports radio, but you also work on KXP.
Yeah, I produced the morning show with John Richards on KXP.
That's awesome, man. Right on. So not everyone, is touring mega rock stars. A lot of us have to have normal day jobs. You just mentioned yours. Are you a recording artist or a recording engineer? Is that your
Jeremy's job? Pretty interesting.
Gig?
It's kind of fun. Yeah, I'm an audio engineer. I
awesome.
Work for the video game Halo.
Really?
I'm
over at Microsoft.
Yeah. 343 Industries is the studio, and then we're owned by Microsoft. Yeah.
That's cool.
And I'm on the audio team over there, so I do all the music stuff. Some of the music stuff for them, and then a bunch of audio stuff for them, too. So, Ben Amsters and stuff for the music, and then I cut up all the music and put it in the game.
Sick.
So that when people are playing the game, the music responds to the way they're playing and stuff like that.
That is a cool
super
job.
Fun. It's a fun job.
Yeah. That's amazing. Do you get to, test the video games and stuff?
I play that video game sick.
So, you're just like,
there's a lot of it.
You go home, you're like, don't put Halo in front of me.
My kid loves it though. So I get home and he's like, you know, button mashing and
that's amazing.
Yelling at other people online and stuff. And
yeah.
Still somehow finds time to be the expert in how the game is put together.
And, nice.
Yeah, you know, because he's 12. So that happens. But yeah, it's a great job. It's not like a real job. It's a fantasy job.
There basically. You go.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple questions I'm going to just totally throw at you. Cool. And these are questions I like. I have not prepped you.
I'm going to throw an answer at you. Okay. I like to answer. You ready? Okay. Here's the answer. Once in college.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So... what is the first album you ever purchased with your own money? And even if it's embarrassing, on vinyl, tape, cassette, whatever it was, first album you ever purchased?
Yeah, it's a Pat Benatar one.
Nice.
It's got Hell Is for Children and Hit Me With Your Best Shot on it. That's the first album I ever bought with my own paper route money.
Yeah.
So kids back in the day, these things called papers.
Mm-hmm. They had dollar bills.
Yeah, yeah.
It was actual paper as well.
Yeah. But then stuff like, you know, London Calling by The Clash. And mm-hmm. I remember there was a video show on in Minneapolis on Saturday nights late, and they'd play really cool stuff. And that's where I first, like, Jam and The Clash and like seeing The Jam on there. And there's a song called Absolute Beginners, which is just an incredible song.
Yeah.
You know, to this day, I still love it. And this is 40 years later. And that just blew my head off. And, like, you know.
What was this show called?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, this is Saturday Night Videos from KQRS on blah, blah. I don't remember now. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I thought you were thinking of Night Flight or something like that. Flight's
cool. No, it was a local show.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a local show. And they did cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. You know?
I love it.
So, yeah, those are the first ones I bought. There's some 40. I mean, I bought the Star Wars Cantina 45, too. You know, I was like 10. Does that count? I don't know.
The 45.
Yeah.
That's great.
Blondie Heart of Glass.
What's the B-side of the Cantina song? What do you get when you flip it over?
A headache? I don't
know. It's funny you're talking about, like, you know, watching all these videos. I interviewed a death metal band for Metal Shop a couple months. It was probably a year ago at this point. But they were mentioning how – and this ties into your radio job. They were mentioning how back in the day there was a guy who hosted a show called Brain Pain on KCMU, KEXP now. And it was like one of the first, like, really underground death metal shows,
right?
And really underground thrash metal shows, and they would have Brain Pain parties. They would just buy shirts. They would get the signal because it was at the U District at that time. It was very small signal. They could all go into this one house, and they would just rage, and they would call up and harass the DJ, this guy, and they would have Brain Pain parties. So I mean, just like your music videos, well, you catch as a kid,
right? And that's the community right there, right? So that show was delivering something that no other show would deliver to these people who loved this music, right? And it's just like, you know, one of the sports is like a great connector.
Yep.
You can walk in any bar. I also work for ESPN, so I travel a lot. So you can walk in any bar and talk sports with anybody usually.
Yeah.
Right? Well, to a lesser extent, when you meet those people who have this, who like music like you do, those conversations, those connections, you feel like you're connecting with someone in a really deep way because you love the spirit of art and music and stuff. And that's I love to hear that story.
Yeah,
I think it's vital and important.
First album you ever purchased?
It was a Phil Collins No Jacket Required.
Really?
Cassette.
Okay.
A cassette.
Nice. Yeah.
What's a cassette? No.
Exactly. I remember those, like, a Columbia Record and Tape Club.
Yeah, oh yeah, ten for a cent or something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure their lawyers are after me.
You gonna go see Peter Gabriel on the tour?
Statute of limitations is. I am probably not. You know, I shy away from the big macro shows.
Yeah,
I did go see Roger Waters.
Oh, nice.
That's about as macro shows I'm gonna get.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. It's just those kind of shows, those, like, huge shows, make me kind of tired. Like, I just like, oh my God, this is so much. I'm really more into the, like, smaller rock venues and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you end up spending, you know, so much time getting into the venue, and then just spending so much money on merch. Yeah. I dig it, and it's always an experience, and it's fun. But I much more can enjoy the, like, intimate local rock, you know, venue experience. So.
Did No Jacket Required have In the Air Tonight on it?
I don't even remember. I just remember the cover. There was a jacket on the cover, of course. So I guess he didn't need a jacket because he already had a jacket.
It wasn't required.
It was no longer required.
I think that's what...
Sure.
I mean, that song's amazing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Since this is a Northwest show, what's your favorite or a couple of your favorite Northwest artists of all time? Doesn't have to be bands. Could be, mm-hmm. you know, single artists. Yeah.
There was a band called the Melody Unit, which was okay. around.
I recognize the name.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah. They were great. They were like, they started, it's my friend Kevin's band. They started as kind of early Stereolab kind of vibe.
Cool.
And they really had this great, like, Velvet Underground, every song's 9 minute long. Probably not,
sure.
but it felt like they got in this really great trance space. But guitars, you know, female, male vocals, they were great.
Awesome.
Melody in it.
Well, the one that stands out to me was Soundgarden. And
yeah.
I liked, the first time I ever saw Soundgarden was in the late 80s before they had signed to a major label, mm-hmm. and they were featured on 120 Minutes on MTV.
Shout out Matt Pinfield.
Shout out, hello,
He's
Matt
He's still
Pinfield.
In radio.
Yes, he is. And I'm, oh, there's a song called Flower, which I think is, I mean, you can hear what we're doing now and what that song created then. It's an odd time signature. The vocals are kind of buried, which is incredible considering Chris Cornell's incredible singing.
Yeah.
But they're kind of – they're almost a second – a fourth instrument or fifth instrument as it were. And it's this big wall of sound. The song Flower. If you don't – if you love Soundgarden and you never listen to early Soundgarden, Flower by Soundgarden is absolutely an incredible place to start. Just amazing. Yeah. So that's the one that stands out to me.
Man, and that's a band that, and I was talking about it with, I had like a death metal band in here, and they actually mentioned they would love Soundgarden, and I was telling them, like, it's something that I've come to appreciate recently is that if you had any other vocalist, they could just be a sludgy doom stoner metal band.
Hmm.
But then you put his vocals on top of it, and it's like this soaring rock, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He had such a different element to it, but like, they're... If they had someone screaming on top of it, it would sound exactly alongside, you know, the, like, you know, stoner metal, you know, harsh, you know, kind of stuff. But
well, the thing, I mean, those guys could play, too. Like, Matt
Cameron. I should probably turn my mic on.
Oh.
It's all good. Yeah. I've had it on most of the time. So anyways, keep going.
Oh, I was going to, like, Matt Cameron, that's one of the greatest drummers in rock history.
Oh, yeah.
The syncopation's incredible, and the sonic choices he's making. And I mean, he's practically writing some of those songs, you know. Kim Thiel's his guitar choices. I mean, it's they're incredible.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, I think they went into odd tunings because of when Ben Shepherd joined the band. But even I think it was Hiro Yamamoto who was the bass player before Ben Shepherd. I think it's his name. It's hard to remember now because that's a long time ago. But he was also they were incredible. You
yeah,
know? That's a. An incredible band to me.
Absolutely.
And I still love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible band.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Before I let you go, what's the best way for people to follow along with y'all if they can't see a live show, whether they, you know, have various jobs or, you know, they have to stay home with the kids? What's the best way to follow along with you guys? And
we've launched a psychic network. So just concentrate and we will beam messages to you.
Or awesome. Just physically come to your house.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we
yeah.
might just show up one day.
We might just show
yeah.
up.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems like an odd idea, but Jeremy, I'm in. Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah, yeah, we'll make people dinner. Okay,
no, they gotta make us dinner.
Oh, they make us dinner. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Oh,
send
nice.
Us pictures of whatever you're cooking.
Yeah, I like that.
May or may not. Yeah,
we would come over, but that looks terrible. Yeah. Well, just I mean, Bandcamp is a talk about like a institution that like supports artists.
Oh yeah,
Bandcamp,
especially during
incredible.
The pandemic, Bandcamp Fridays.
Whew. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
If you like vinyl, we have vinyl for sale on there.
Awesome.
Yeah, just new. I think well, it's either bandcamp.newagehealers.com or vice versa, newagehealers.bandcamp.net.scapes.geocities.
Awesome.
Slash
web crawler. Ask Jeeves.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're going to go into Melts Away, but here's the thing.
Oh.
You come from radio, so this you got to do it the cheesiest way. So what I do is for the last segment of this show, I ask someone from the band to do this. I want you to do Big Booming Voice of God, Morning Zoo, introduction, just wacky, stupid, corny. You know, you just mention your name of the band, mention the song, and you're listening to KISW, but be as, you know, Dr. Demento as possible.
It's a two for Tuesday, getting the let out on KISW, live in Seattle with New Age Healers. Turn it all the way up and rip off the knob as your radio melts away.
Amazing. Don't take my job, dude. Don't take my job. Thank you very much. New Age Healers here on the Rock.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.